This morning, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 31 to 37. It is good for us to realize that the miracles that our Lord Jesus did in his earthly ministry were meant to picture for us the various ways in which we are healed from sin sickness in our lives. When we come to faith in him, begins the process of that healing. But these miracles, being raised from the dead and casting out demons and giving sight to the blind, and this particular miracle of the opening of this man's ears to be able to hear, are all meant to give to us a better understanding of our great salvation in Jesus Christ. So let's pray together before we begin. Father, we thank you that you are our God, that you are the God of miracles, that you are the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power which is in you, Christ Jesus. And that same power is in us who believe. We give you thanks, so our God, that you would speak to our hearts this day and show us just how very real you become in our lives. When you take away our sins and enter our hearts, you are there to change us and to mold us and to shape us into the image, Father, of your dear Son. So we pray that you will come and do your perfect work today, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. There are lessons to be learned from every one of our Lord's blessed miracles. That's why each and every one of them should be preached from and thought upon. It's so that what Christ did for those in need would be carefully brought to light, so that we might be instructed by our Lord's example. We want to know how he ministered to people, so that we might learn how to minister to others. In his name, we do not have the ability in ourselves to help a single soul without the grace and the blessing of God. But with knowledge of what Jesus was like and what he did in his ministry, we can learn to be helpers of others around us. In this way, God will be praised and he will be glorified. God uses the knowledge of Christ and our compassionate observation of others in our learning to minister to him. We know that doctors and surgeons have received much good and practical training so that they will be able to apply what they've learned so that they might effectively minister to those in great physical need. Even so, we as Christians can learn many good things from the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we study his healing ministry. You and I may not have a license to practice medicine, But we do have a command to preach the gospel to every creature. We do have a command given to us by the Lord Himself that we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So this morning, I would like to set before you the four ways that you, as a Christian, can help forward the cause of Jesus Christ, the saving, healing ministry of Jesus to needy people around you. The first way is by bringing needy people around you to Jesus. The second way is by showing them the sympathy of the Lord Jesus. The third way is by believing in Jesus's power to instantaneously change a harder life. And the fourth is to proclaim that He does do all things well. The first way that you can help forward the saving, healing ministry of Jesus to needy people around you is to bring them to Him. Verses 31 and 32, again departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, He came to the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to Him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged Him to put His hand on him. This is the essence of Christian ministry, bringing people to Jesus. These people in this region knew of the power of Jesus to heal, and so they brought Him this difficult case of a deaf man who also could not speak clearly or distinctly. They knew that this man could not help himself. They knew that he couldn't change his own condition, but they believed that Jesus could, and so they brought him to Jesus. They believed that if Jesus would simply put His hand on this man, if Jesus was willing, that He certainly was able to heal this man of his great disability. This kind of faith is something that Jesus responds to. The faith that brings the needs of others to His attention. This kind of faith knows how to beg on behalf of others. To bring people to Jesus is to be praying for people around you, for their highest welfare and for their eternal good. This is one of the ways that we bring people to Jesus today. We cannot bring them to Jesus physically, but we can bring them to Him spiritually, for He is very much alive, having been raised from the dead. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Let us learn to bring people to Jesus if we haven't done it much before. Let me ask you if you are a person who brings people to Jesus. Do you bring people to Jesus in prayer? Do you bring them to church so that they might hear about Jesus? It's always good in the sight of God that people are presented with Jesus's ability to make them whole and complete and happy. And people who have this kind of faith in our day should not feel that they are limited to their asking and begging only for the physical needs of people. They are also concerned with the spiritual welfare of people around them just as much, if not more so, than for their physically being made whole and well. Now, we know if we read our Bibles that there are people all around us who cannot hear spiritually. Now, most people can hear physically, but all around us, I'm saying, are people that cannot hear spiritually. And the Lord Jesus would often say in the days of His earthly ministry, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There are people all around us every day who are deaf to spiritual truth. They are deaf to all the expectations of God towards them as people. Most people can physically hear the gospel, but there are many who are spiritually unable to hear the truth of the Word of God and receive it because there is something blocking in their mind and heart. There is an impediment there. And that impediment is that they are spiritually deaf to both the voice of the law and the gospel. Now, the gospel is good news. You would think that people would want to hear the gospel. But many people do not want to hear the gospel because they do not want to believe that they need to be saved from their sins. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says of the Pharisees, these very religious men in his day who were trying to disqualify his ministry and to bring him into dishonor and disgrace in the eyes of the people. He was preaching to the people who were spiritually deaf. In John 8:42, he says there, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" he says to them. "Because you are not able to listen to my word." Not able to hear his word. It says in the King James Version, and in John 8:46, he says again, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." So they had this great spiritual infirmity, this impediment of spiritual deafness, but they would not admit it. And this is how people are without the grace of God at work in their hearts and lives. When people are deaf spiritually, they do not understand that they will most certainly face God at the judgment day and their life will be evaluated. They have not really heard that this life is the only time of preparation for such a day and such a meeting. They do not know that they will not be prepared to meet him and to have him do this evaluation of their life. This is because they've never really been touched by Christ, who alone can bring to them the reality of a work of grace in their hearts. That he can take away this impediment, that which stops up their ears and blocks their mind and their heart from hearing. And so we need to understand that it is only Christ who can give a person ears to hear. To hear the warnings and the threatenings of God's holy law. It's only Christ who can open a person's ears to hear his sweet words in the gospel, promising them grace which will save their souls. So you and I must learn to pray for them that this spiritual impediment would be removed. Let me ask you, do you do this? When you are speaking with people who you believe, you're pretty sure they do not understand the truth of the Word of God or the gospel, do you pray and say, "Lord, would you not open their ears, open their understanding so that they can comprehend the truth of your word?" These Pharisees didn't want to admit their deafness. They thought that it was enough to be religious. But this deaf-mute man was brought to Jesus so that Jesus could heal him. Let us remember that there are people who are being drawn by the Father to Christ. There are people around us who will be made willing by the power of the Lord to come and sit and listen to God's word and thus be brought close to Jesus. And you and I must be on the lookout to think about who we might bring with us to church and who we might share with the truth of the gospel. In most cases, we realize that people around us have physical ears that they can hear, and there isn't any reason that we can't bring them to Jesus by bringing them to the place where he manifests his saving power, that is here in the church. When people are coming to church, they are at least outwardly hearing the words of eternal life. The impediment might not yet be removed, but it is at church, in the preaching of the word, where Christ manifests himself to his people and to sinners who have never heard with ears of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ, it says in Romans 10:17. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So inwardly, to come to hear, people who are presently spiritually deaf must be brought to the place where they can outwardly hear the truth of God's word. To inwardly hear, they must have the ability to hear being given to them by Christ. And then they shall be saved from their sins, having been given the gift of regeneration. They will then have the power to believe and be saved. We know that salvation is of the Lord. It is not of men. It is not of the will of man, but it is of the power of God. The second way that you can help forward the saving, healing ministry of Jesus to needy people around you is by showing them the humility and the sympathy of Jesus to them. He took them aside from the multitude. He put his fingers in this man's ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue, it says here. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. It was Christ's humility to take this man aside from the multitude. It was not as though Jesus did not have the ability to do this miracle before all the people, as he had done many times in many other situations. It was rather that in this instance, he didn't want to do this miracle from wrong motives, which would be to do it for the applause of men, or just to do it to show that he could do it. This would not be bringing glory to God, he knew. It's not enough. It's not good necessarily just to show off one's own power to do miracles. Jesus knew this. It was that the message of the gospel would be attested by the power of this miracle, that some would come to saving faith in Christ because of it. And this is how you and I also are to go about doing our works. It's not so that we might be seen of men. It's not so that they might be impressed by us. It's so that they would believe in God, so that they would come to praise God, so that they would come to be his servants forever when they are touched and when they are changed. Christ's kingdom, his cause, and his glory are not advanced by fleshly displays of power. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that the temple of the Lord is to be built and glory comes to God. We are not to so let our light shine that people see our good works and praise us here upon the earth. We are to let our light shine in such a way that people see our good works and they glorify the Father in heaven. So it's by true humility that Christ's kingdom advances and people are truly helped. The Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. Sometimes the greatest miracles are done by the Lord's taking a person aside from the multitude. And I suppose it would please all of us to know most definitely of the Lord's work prospering among us so that we might see it going on in front of our own eyes. But the Lord knows that it is no doubt often better for a person to be healed or for faith to be conceived, not before the prying eyes of many people, but when he and they are alone or only with a few people. Jesus often did this in some of his greatest miracles, in the raising of Jairus's daughter from the dead in Luke 8:51. He put them all outside. And then he took just James, Peter, and John and the parents with him into the room where she lay, because he knew this would glorify God more than a great display of his power in front of the many mourners there that day. John 5:44, Jesus says, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Adam Clark says in his commentary, "When Christ saves a sinner, he separates him from all his old evil companions and from the spirit and maxims," that is the teachings, "of an ungodly world." Jesus was also very personally sympathetic to this man who had these problems of deafness and this inability to speak. Before he performed the miracle, he put his fingers in this man's ears and he spat and he touched this man's tongue. And then looking up to heaven, it says, he sighed. He sighed. You see, Jesus was very personally sympathetic with this man's condition. He was telling him in a personal way, with a form of sign language, what he was going to do for him. He was saying by his actions, "These ears of yours are going to be unplugged so that you can hear. This tongue, which has had so much trouble with stuttering and stumbling over itself, I'm going to set it free." So I believe that Jesus' sighing was his identification with all the years that this man had to endure this disability. He could understand how difficult it had been for him, how awkward it was for him, how frustrating it was to him, even how anguishing it was for him. The Lord Jesus knew every physical weakness this man had, and he knew what it meant for him to have endured the maddening frustration of not being able to hear or to speak. I'm not sure that you and I can quite grasp what this man must have been through for many years. Jesus was showing this man that he sympathized with him and that he was going to do what he alone could do in that situation. He was going to heal him. We should learn from this that the Lord Jesus is a Savior who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, both physical and spiritual. And that's why he's so able a minister to all of the people who came to him with their sins and problems. This is also why we can come to him today and why we should encourage others to come to him today. It is not a trite thing to point people to Jesus. It is not a small thing to tell people that they should believe in Jesus that they might be spiritually saved and helped. Because it says in the book of Hebrews that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Now part of Jesus' holy work in intercession is being able to sympathize with those who come to him with their problems. His sympathy and his intercession are motivated by his great willingness to show compassion to every needy sinner. You and I need to be able to tell people that, no matter what sins they have committed, no matter how shameful they may feel, no matter what their weaknesses are, that they need to come to Jesus in order to be saved by him and to be helped by him. Jesus has great willingness, I'm saying, to show compassion to every needy sinner, and he's very willing to be your helper, dear believer, in and through his granting you salvation and giving you help and assistance in all of your difficulties both spiritual and physical in this life. After you come to understand this as a Christian, it ought to lead you to be able to show the same kind of sympathy to people around you. You've been shown mercy. Jesus has sympathized with you in your weakness. You ought to be able to do the same with people around you. How do you minister to people around you? You minister to them, first of all, by learning to be sympathetic to them, to sympathize with them, and by showing them that you care for them personally. And you learn to sigh over their condition in your spirit. You then pray in your spirit to God. You ask Him to show you what you can do to help them to bear up under these trials and difficulties. You pray to Christ for wisdom as to how you might be able to tell them where they can find grace and help in their time of need. We may not be able to personally heal them, but we can personally show interest in people around us. Try hard to understand what their experience has been and what the difficulties are that they are experiencing. Christ will teach you how to be a good listener to others around you, to other people in need, so that you might show them something of Christ in your words and something of Christ in your actions. When you have learned how to be sympathetic, then you should also pray to be able to show them compassion. That kind of godly compassion that asks yourself and the Lord, what can I do for this person that I'm talking to? What should I do for this person that I am talking to? You can be sure that Christ will answer such questions that you ask of Him in prayer. In asking questions of your Lord like this, He will bring to you and to your mind something specifically that you can do for them. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give and will not upbraid. It's a good work to, as Paul says in Acts 20:35, labor with your hands so that you might support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the third way that you can help forward the saving, healing ministry of Jesus is by believing in Jesus' power to instantaneously change a heart or life. Verses 34, 35, then looking up to heaven, He sighed, and He said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately His ears were opened, and the impediment of His tongue was loosed, and He spoke plainly. Let's take notice of the fact that this whole man's life changed immediately and instantaneously. We are living in a day when many people, when they think of seeing help come to other people, they only see it in terms of a process of people doing things for other people. They do not speak about God being in the picture at all. They tend to want to downplay the idea of miracles happening and God miraculously intervening instantaneously to save people's souls or to heal their bodies. Thomas Jefferson was a man like this. He published his own New Testament, but when he published it, he took all the miracles out. It made more sense to him that way. He didn't really want to believe in miracles. But if you have come to know the Lord, Christ Himself has entered your heart. And the Holy Spirit, through your words and actions, can convince the people that you minister to of their sins and of their need of a Savior. Christ can reveal Himself to them by His powerful grace and presence. I wonder if we believe that. Sometimes I think we have tried so hard to talk to people around us about Christ, And we haven't seen anything significantly happen or change that we actually have left off believing that God can save someone instantaneously or could heal them instantaneously. Disbelief or unbelief concerning the reality of Christ being able to change a bodily condition or a sinful heart in the immediate sense will not glorify God if you are trying to minister to others around you. God most certainly can, and He does, of His own good pleasure, heal the bodies and save the sin-sick souls of people in our day and our generation. He changes the whole course of their lives by giving them the gift of regeneration. He takes away their sins and He imputes Christ's righteousness to them in the act of justification. He did this miracle in your heart, dear believer, so that you might come to believe in Christ and be saved. Will you not remember, if you have been converted to Christ, that His entering your heart to regenerate it took place in a moment of time? It was instantaneous. You may not have been able to pinpoint the exact time of it yourself, when it took place for you, but you ought to be able to remember the general time period in which it happened. You experienced a new birth spiritually in a moment of time. Just like the conception of a child takes place in a moment of time, even in regeneration, when God comes in almighty power to open the heart of the sinner so that He might place the seed of righteousness there in their heart, open their eyes, open their ears spiritually, is done in a moment. It is done instantaneously. It is a miracle of Christ's doing. Just as surely as this man's receiving the ability to hear and to speak, so you were called by mighty and effectual grace. And you believed, and you were saved. If you have believed in Jesus, the beginning of your faith was an instantaneous conception and birth performed by the Holy Spirit. When Christ came into your heart and life, He had many ways of showing you that He had given you the new birth. He was right there in your heart, teaching you and leading you, and He made you know that He was there. His power and His presence convinced you that His word was true. And you began to read it. And you began to live by it. And you followed Him in this way that He prescribed. It was He Himself who opened your ears to hear and to listen as a disciple and to be able to speak to Him in praise. It was He who did the miracle so that praise might be formed upon your lips. He did this miracle so that then you would come to speak clearly about your experience. Christ's power to save is very great, and we need very much to believe it, is what I am saying to you here this morning. Christ can certainly heal in a moment. He does this miracle in your heart to change your heart in a moment, raising you from the dead, giving you ears to hear what His Spirit is saying to you through His Word. And then you also want to speak to others about what has happened to you so that God would be glorified and Christ's kingdom would advance. Let your lips speak of the miracle that Christ has done for you. And then, fourth and lastly, there's another thing that you can do to forward Christ's saving, healing ministry to needy people, and that is that you tell them that He does all things well. Verses 36 and 37, it says that when He healed them, He commanded them that they should tell no one But the more that he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Now, what are we to think of this man's disobedience to Christ's express command that he should tell no one? Was it holy or unholy disobedience? Can any disobedience of Christ's command be holy? I like what John Gill, the commentator, says about this. He says, the man that had his hearing and speech restored to him, and those that brought him, and as many as were witnesses of the miracle, that they should tell no one of the cure that was wrought, being not desirous of the applause of men, and knowing it would bring upon him the envy of the scribes and Pharisees, and be a means of putting the common people upon setting him up as a temporal king, such as they expected the Messiah would. But the more he charged them, so much more, the more a great deal they published it. In other words, it wasn't just this man, but it was everybody who was with him. They were all speaking about what Christ had done for this man. And Gill says, for they looked upon his charge merely to proceed from modesty. That is, that Christ was being modest. Don't tell anybody. And that made them the more forward to spread or to speak of his greatness and in his praise, to publish his mighty works and spread the fame of his miracles far and near. So such who have received the grace of God, says Gill, are become acquainted with Christ and have a real experience of divine things, cannot but speak of them. They are like new wine which has no vent. And they are ready to burst like new bottles. To forbear speaking is a pain to them. It is a weariness to them. Nay, they think that should they hold their peace, the stones in the walls would cry out. Wherefore, he says, partly for the glory of God, the magnifying of the riches of his grace, and the honor of Christ and the blessed Spirit, and partly to show their own sense of things, the gratitude of their minds and the thankfulness of their hearts, as well as for the use, comfort, edification, and instruction of others, they must speak. And they cannot be silent, whatever restraints are laid upon them. End of quote. I think this is wonderfully said. When you think of all that the Lord has done for you, when you think about Jesus' going to the cross and dying there for you, for your sins, when you think of all that he continues to do for you day by day, by his powerful grace transforming you into his own blessed image, giving you ears to hear and a heart to follow him as his disciple, then how can you possibly remain silent? This man and the people who brought him to Jesus had a command not to tell what he had done for them, but you and I have a command to tell. And will we all be disobedient and Jesus receive no praise? Will he receive no honor for all the good things that he has done? I trust that you will not be silent, but instead that you will pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit to declare the great things that he has done for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this great passage of Scripture which shows us your power and glory in the healing of this man by opening his ears. Oh Lord, open our ears and open our hearts that we might behold these wondrous things in your law. A man's physical ears opened instantaneously, and our own hearts opened instantaneously by grace. we pray that we would understand and that we would speak of the glory of you, our Christ, so that they might be saved. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in closing, if you would turn with me in your hymn book to hymn number 2, God, my King, thy might confessing, ever will I bless thy name, day by day thy throne addressing, still will I thy praise proclaim. Let's stand together and sing this hymn. God, my King, thy might confessing, ever will I bless thy name, day by day thy throne addressing, still will I thy power proclaim. Honor befitteth when his majesty can reach, age to age his works transmitteth, age to age his power shall teach. They shall talk of all thy glory, on thy might and greatness dwell, speak of thy dread acts, the story, and thy deeds of wonder tell. Nor shall faint from memory's treasure works by love and mercy wrought, works of love surpassing measure, works of mercy passing thought. Let's sing these last two a cappella. Full of kindness and compassion, slow to anchor, vast in love, God is good to all creation, all his works his goodness prove. All thy works, O Lord, shall bless thee, thee shall all thy saints adore. Coming soon shall they confess thee and proclaim thy sovereign power. Amen. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and go with you. You are dismissed.